686-2237.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Hour two of the Paracast with Gary and David exploring ancient legends and mysteries. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. So we're talking about the uniform or garb these creatures wore. Let's go back to that description.
Yeah, this is kind of like a metaphor, I guess, or, you know, the clothing looked like icicles. And to a primitive people who never saw metallic, you know, objects or stuff, they would describe a metallic uniform as looking like icicles, you know, glistening and glinting in the sunlight like icicles would.
Sounds like the creatures that George Adamski saw. Silvery uniforms. Michael Rennie from Dave the Earth Stood Still landed in ancient times. I'm being silly, but listen to the concept.
You know, it's totally believable, you know, that Native Americans would describe, you know, uniforms like that, silver uniforms, as glistening like icicles. And this creature took these children up into the sky in the flying shield, and they looked down across the earth, and they saw the village that their parents had escaped to. And the creature, you know, was a benevolent creature. It gave the children melon to eat and corn. And finally, the saucer or craft sat down right next to the village where the parents had been. And the children got out of the craft and were reunited with the parents. So, you know, this is the one instance that a sky god came down and helped these twins escape peril. So, you know,
does the legend say that the star god, or whoever he or it was, communicated with them in somehow?
Yeah, the star god said that that he would come later on in their dreams to give them information and to give them ways to live correctly, to live by the ways of the Creator. So there was.
Do we have any sort of time frame on this? Do we have any idea how soon after the emergence that this occurred? Was it fairly early on, or is this something that's more recent?
Well, this must have been very early, but there again, the Hopi are, from my understanding, are never really specific about dates, unlike the Maya, which are very precise about, you know, getting specific dates. The Hopi just say, you know, it was long, long ago, or, you know, in ancient times, or their whole idea of time is sort of different than the way we conceive of it anyway. So
well, it's actually highly unique. I think they're one of the only cultures that really have no future or past tense in their language. Everything is pretty much an eternal now.
Yeah, you're right. It's in the present, but there's also kind of a mythic time that gets recirculated into, you know, it's a whole cosmology that deals with the corn stalk and the vertical axis of the corn stalk, and how this is kind of like an axis mundi, and time is recycled into this axis when it, you know, it comes into being and then it's recycled. You know, I have a picture in my book, The Keys of Heaven, that kind of a model of the way that Benjamin Whorf, a linguist who studied the Hopi in the 30s, I believe, he came up with the way that the Hopi conceptualized the universe, and I've tried to present a graphic that would show what was happening when time comes into being, and then it gets recirculated into this, you know, this source of everything, which is represented by the corn stalk.
Yeah, one thing that I want to point out at this point too is, in the last few years, I've become more and more involved in researching the Zuni culture, which you could almost equate as being the Hopi's little brothers. And we had Clifford Mahudi, who is an elder of the Zuni tribe, on the program. And he mentioned that there were some uncanny parallels between the Zuni belief system and how it's very, very, very similar, if not exact in some sense, to the Hopi version. So, you know, we're dealing with the two primordial cultures in North America, I think, when you discuss the cosmology of the Hopi and Zuni. Well, why don't you go ahead, Gary.
Yeah, I was going to say that the Hopi and Zuni, they have different languages, of course, but you know they have similar ceremonies. Like the Hopi have a shalako kachina, and it's this very tall kachina, just like the Zuni have a shalako the shalako ritual in December, and they have these tall beings that go through the plaza. And, you know, there's a lot of similarities between Hopi and Zuni because they're not separated by very, very much distance. So they had a lot of interaction, I'm sure, in early times.
Well, this kind of reminds me of some stories that I've heard over the past 5 or 6 years that concern the arrival of flying shields onto the reservation. Most specifically in the, I guess it would be the northwest corner of the Hopi Reservation, and also just over the border into the Navajo Reservation, where you know, remote hogans or remote dwellings would be visited by these strange beings coming down from the sky. And Tom Dongo, who is a local investigator here in the Sedona area, has interviewed extensively some of these witnesses to these events. And it seems to me, based on these descriptions, that we're seeing some sort of recent ramping up of activity, aerial activity around the reservations. Of course, it's very difficult to go on the res and start asking questions. A nosy white boy in a black cowboy hat doesn't quite get very far. But have you heard any sort of rumblings about a heightened sense of activity and possibly expectation on the reservation?
Well, you know, back in the 1970, in fact, there was kind of a rash of UFO sightings around the town of Prescott, Arizona. And, you know, hundreds of these sightings were seen, and some of the Hopis even came out from the reservation to the town of Prescott and witnessed these things. There's a geological formation in the Prescott area known as Thumb Butte. And Thumb Butte looks like Devil's Tower that's depicted in Close Encounters of the Third Kind, that same kind of laccolith that comes out of the earth. And, you know, this was kind of a magnet for UFOs during that time. But, yes, I've heard that people are seeing more and more sightings in recent times on the reservation around I read recently an article in the Navajo Hopi Observer about the sighting in around Loop, Arizona.
Right. Yeah, Indian Wells, Loop, yeah.
Right, yeah, this craft was, one woman said it was like as big as the school gymnasium, you know, this craft that hovered for, you know, over an hour in this area. And, you know, and multiple witnesses were seeing this. So, you know, I think a lot of the elders would say that this is kind of a sign that the fourth world is coming to an end. When you see these constant visitation by these spirit beings or perhaps physical craft, this is a sign that we're getting close to the end of the fourth world.
So if I'm doing a tour up to the Grand Canyon and I see on the cliffs above the Sapapu a bunch of RVs and teepees and tents and stuff, it's time to maybe get my affairs in order and start heading to the Sapapu, huh?
Well, that's the safe area that they say, you know, if you leave the cities and go up to the Hopi land, and this is the place that's going to be spared, if anything, you know, between Grand Canyon and the Hopi mesas. Mm-hmm. This area, so this it might come to that, you know, when the cities collapse and we're out of oil and out of gas and out of food. You know, the Hopi live a very simple life, or at least they try to. It was getting increasingly more difficult to live in the old ways, using the dry farming method and growing corn and so forth.
We kind of changed that in our modern civilization. Gary David's the guest. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Fortean phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO@webtv.net. That's MrUFO@webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
As many people know, ever since President Nixon took us off the gold standard, the U.S. dollar has been devaluating. What people don't know, however, is how this directly affects your personal finances. Is there a way to protect your portfolios from losing value? The answer to all of this is gold and silver. They both have maintained their purchasing power for 6,000 years. If you had $100,000 in cash and $100,000 in gold and silver back in 1913 and kept them until now, your cash would have the buying power of only $4,800. But your gold and silver would have the buying power of $3 million. The answer to protecting your assets is simple. Call John Ballman today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Get all your questions answered before your money is worth a zero. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Take action today while we still accept paper dollars for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 169.
What is the number one secret to all your health problems? I'll give you a hint. Dr. Alexis Carroll kept chicken heart tissue alive for 28 years in a test tube. He said the cells remained youthful so long as the metabolic wastes were washed away, but that when wastes were allowed to accumulate in and around the cell would age and then die. So the key to radiant health is cellular cleanliness, and the key to keeping your cells clean of chemicals, free radicals, and heavy metals that we are bombarded with in our society is glutathione. This master antioxidant is required by every cell of the body. Glutathione levels decline due to toxicity and aging. The number one food to replenish your body's glutathione levels up to 64% or more is unheated, grass-fed whey protein powder. This miraculous superfood may do more for your health than any other supplement you've ever taken. To get your free report of the best whey protein powder, call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
You worry. We do too, so that's why we made the new OfTheField.com website. New features include the ability to grow and expand, the free foragers forum, and an ultra-secure e-commerce platform. And now, extended until Sunday night, December 12th, take 10% off on everything in our learning resources area by using the coupon code NEWSITE. That's N-E-W-S-I-T-E, no spaces. With this new platform, it is our commitment to serve the foraging community with questions, tips, tricks, and advice freely asked for and given by all. In these times, the strong and principled must stick together, share information, and form bonds stronger than any food tyranny. Wild food is both free to own and free to take, and together we can keep it that way. So go to ofthefield.com and use coupon code NEWSITE or call 888-51-EAT-FREE and give the gift that gives for life. That's ofthefield.com or call 888-51-EAT-FREE. All of nature's bounty lies at your feet.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you want to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out on iTunes.
We have more time to spend with Gary David looking at ancient mysteries. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberger in the Paracast. A couple of things occur to me. When you talk about all these legends, Hopi, Zuni, Indians, etc. Now, the Zunis, they transfer data stories verbally, or basically somebody tells somebody who tells somebody. Does the Hopi do the same thing?
Yeah, the Hopi didn't have a written language, and most of the Pueblo people didn't. Well, all of the Pueblo people didn't have anything written, unlike the Maya in Central America and in Mexico. So it's all kind of legends passed down through the generations, but they do have rock art or petroglyphs, rock carvings, and rock paintings that you can go to and see some of these. You know, I've seen pictures of what are called ant people that they've been in the media recently. I noticed the people are talking about the ant people. And I've seen petroglyphs of these, rock carvings of these, right here in Arizona.
Why don't you give us an idea of who the ant people are in their tradition? That's pretty important, I think.
Right, yeah. Well, the ant people supposedly helped the Hopi survive two major cataclysms. The destruction of the first world by fire, and the destruction of the second world by ice. The first world destruction might be something like volcanism or an asteroid strike or some major kind of fire event that happened in very ancient times. And the ant people helped the Hopi go into caverns, into subterranean caves, and survive. The second world was destroyed by ice, some kind of major ice age or a very, very cold period in Earth's history. And the people went down into the caverns. The ant people led them down into these caverns, and they helped them sprout beans. Beans are one of the traditional dietary mainstays.
Or hydroponic farms under the earth.
Something like that, yeah. Yeah, Gene, that's exactly right. You know, in these caverns, you can't grow anything. You have to sprout these beans. And these beans are sprouted to this day in the kivas, in the underground prayer chambers. And they have what's called a bean dance in February to commemorate this time when the ant people helped the Hopi survive in these underground caverns.
What interests me most when we talk about all these legends, Gary, is not just the ubiquity, but the similarity. I mean, we can find talks about disasters, floods, etc., visits by some kind of advanced or higher beings. They're all so similar. It's like they all have this same basic cause. Or do we have loads of higher beings and disasters occurring to different races at different times?
Well, you know, I think there's a cultural similarity because the influence was the same globally throughout the earth. We were being visited by these creatures that are coming down and interacting with humans. One example of this is, you know, the actual word for ant in Hopi is Anu, and the word for friend in Hopi is Naki. So you put the two together, the Anunnaki, the ant friends, help the Hopi. And, of course, this is from a Sumerian mythology, the Anunnaki, the sky gods that came down to Earth.
Shades of Zachariah Sitchin.
Exactly. Rest his soul, yeah.
Okay, so the ant people come here in ancient times, and we're all talking about these insectoids. And that takes us back to the concept of some of the grays being a little insect-like in their demeanor or their appearance.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of these cryptozoological creatures in myths, and the Kachinas reflect this today. There are a lot of giant Kachinas in Hopi dance. You know, there are a number of giant Kachinas, and in my new book, The Kivas of Heaven, I have a chapter about giants. And especially living in the area I mentioned before, Chaco Canyon, as kind of a center activity of giants. And these are, you know, fierce and terrifying creatures. In fact, they've even found in Chaco Canyon, they found petroglyphs, rock carvings, of footprints with six toes on them. And they found handprints with six fingers. Now, in the Bible, it says that the giants supposedly had six fingers and six toes. And they've even found, archaeologists have found in Pueblo Bonito in Chaco Canyon, they found a six-toed foot bone. So this is not just an imaginary thing that some guy with a stone was just, you know, chipping away and thought, well, I think I'll make a footprint with six toes. You know, that would be interesting, you know. It was actually, you know, probably depicting this human, perhaps a giant, with six toes on each foot. So, you know, you have these, you know, creatures. And, you know, Chaco Canyon was a place where they have archaeologists have discovered, looking through the bones that they've unearthed, they have the largest, they were the tallest beings or humans in the area. You know, not to say that they were, you know, 8-foot giants or anything, but they were taller than the rest of the population. You know, the average height of a male in about 1100 AD or 1000 AD was about 5 feet. And they found, you know, skeletons that are a good foot taller than that.
So basically speaking, I'm 6'2". If I went to ancient world and I visited these people, I'm the time traveler.
Yeah, you play center.
Yeah.
I play center, but, you know, I'm a modestly tall guy. They would consider me a giant.
They would, yeah, yeah. And, you know, that you would probably be revered. And, you know, this some of the most elite burial sites are found with these large skeletons. And
I'm in the wrong place here. Maybe I should get that time machine and go back to the ancient world. And, you know, I could live it up. Of course, I might only live to 45 years old or something like that. But
no,
it could be some time.
In fact, Gene, the life expectancy was more like 30 years old.
Right.
You know, and if you lived to 50, you'd be, you know, just really ancient at that time period. So, you know, for late
dang, even I feel old to listen to that.
But, you know, the nutrition was different back then. They had a hard time just eating corn, beans, and squash to get the nutritional value, the iron that they needed in the blood. In fact, there's a lot of iron deficiency anemia found in archaeological sites in the Southwest. It's said for the area around Chaco Canyon, it was about 80% of the people had this iron deficiency anemia.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack! Attack! Of the Rockaways. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockaways lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack, Attack of the Rockaways is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack, Attack of the Rockaways, a novel in the grand science fiction tradition."
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with with two black Berkey Elements for only $209, and the Berkey Guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Do you want to get away from additives and preservatives in your food? Need alternatives to conventional food preparation? Do you want to save the fruits of your gardening labor? And are you looking for an excellent gift idea? Then check out the Excalibur Dehydrator. Dehydration is one of the healthiest, most cost-effective, and fun ways to feed yourself and your family. Make healthy snacks like fruit roll-ups and beef jerky. Store healthy food in case of an emergency with no added salts, fats, or preservatives. And save hundreds of dollars by drying it yourself with the Excalibur Dehydrator. The Excalibur Dehydrator comes with an industry-leading exclusive 10-year warranty. And when you order, you'll receive a free book filled with amazing, easy recipes, a $25 value free for a limited time. Just mention coupon code GCN. Learn more and order your Excalibur Dehydrator today at drying123.com. That's drying123.com. Drying123.com. Or call 1-800-875-4254. That's 1-800-875-4254. Season's greetings and health and wellness from Excalibur Dehydrator.
Hi, I'm here talking with Don Wiskin of HeartDrop.com. I understand that you changed the name of your product, Don.
Yes, we did. It's now Extendabite, meaning to extend your life.
Wow, extend your life. Everybody wants to extend their life. How's it made, Don?
Well, Extendabite is made from herbs gathered from many different parts of the world. We chose 7 of the heart and health-related herbs known to improve your health.
Your heart drops have always kept me from feeling sick or run down, Don. Will Extendabite continue to do the same thing for me?
Yes, it will. All we changed was the name. I'm here because at 42, I had a heart attack and the garlic cayenne drops gave me back my life.
We have been talking with Don Wiskin about his exciting new product called Extendabite. To get your Extendabite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit his website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
On air, online, and on demand, we are the GCN Radio Network.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We have Gary David joining us this week. I'm Gene Steinberg. Here in the Paracast, Chris O'Brien is our co-host. And we are exploring lots and lots of really interesting stuff because we're talking about legends of sky people, about their presence, and you were talking about this mountain. Let's continue.
Yeah, I was going to drop a bombshell here. It certainly
Please, we need one, because after we had that kind of letdown about having arsenic aliens instead of phosphorus aliens, and that was all it was about, you know.
Well, you know, this was a controversy that came about a decade ago when, this one archaeologist named Christy Turner came up with all this forensic evidence of archaeological sites in the Southwest that showed evidence of cannibalism. He had pretty strong evidence that, bones were chopped up and sawed, human bones were chopped up and sawed, and like they were being prepared for food. They even found in a place called Cowboy Wash, which is in southwestern Colorado, they found what's called a coprolite, or a fossilized human feces with human myoglobin in it, which is a protein that's only found in human muscle or heart. So the person who deposited this feces at this site definitely ate a human being. So there's, some evidence that cannibalism did occur. And perhaps that's why these people at Chaco Canyon had, were taller than the rest, because they had a better protein source. It was human protein that they were consuming. So, and this, of course, this enraged a lot of the Pueblo people, the Hopi people, saying, we weren't cannibals in the ancient past. And, you know, I think that's right. That's not part of the Hopi tradition. But it's my understanding, and I think Christy Turner put forth the idea that a group from Mexico migrated north and kind of terrorized the Southwest during this period, during, you know, the 11th century. And they took over Chaco Canyon, and it was kind of a... they gathered tributes of goods and food, and if you didn't comply with their wishes, they
ate you.
You. You know,
and that's rude.
And thus you have all these you know, Hopi kachinas, which look really fierce. You know, I saw one of these kachinas in a dance up on the reservation, and this really, really tall being with these huge mouth and these goggle eyes, real bug-eyed kind of creature with this wild hair and these huge teeth, and he was carrying around like a foot-long butcher knife, you know. I mean, this guy is not anyone you want to mess with. So they have these they call giant kachinas that are still depicted at these dances. And so, you know, they form part of the Hopi legend. And supposedly they used to carry off children. If they didn't do the parents' bidding, they carried off these children and ate them. So you have this kind of grisly side.
Wow.
to the legends of...
So if you got an invitation to come over for dinner, you never were quite sure if you were the main course or not.
Well, you had to make sure that you gave enough, gave enough corn to the rulers, to the elite rulers in Chaco Canyon. So
something like you tell your kids, listen, if you don't obey mommy and daddy, we're going to send the creatures out to eat you? Or do you think there's some basis for some of this?
Well, you know, the Grimm's fairy tales are pretty grisly, too. You know, you have these giants and witches eating, you know, children. So, you know, I think there's part of it to keep the children in line. But, you know, it's a trusted way of child rearing, but kind of out of step with the way we look at child rearing today. But, you know, there were these traditions of giants, and, you know, they found... you know, David Childress has written about the Lovelock Cave in Nevada, where they found these red-haired giants that are like 7-8 feet tall in this cave. And supposedly the Paiute Indians, they fought with this giant race. So, you know, these might have been actual creatures that were roaming in the Southwest in ancient times.
Wow. There are quite a few stories about giants in the historical sort of legends and myths of the Southwestern peoples. But one of the things that I've always found quite intriguing myself is that a lot of these stories, you know, and some of our doubters on the Paracast will go, oh, well, this is just a bunch of, you know, it's an oral tradition. Stuff gets twisted and bent out of shape over time, and the stories change. And one thing that I want to remind our listeners is when these medicine societies that are responsible for passing along this sacred knowledge, when they pass it along, it is note by note, word by word, and there is no variation in it. They are taught to memorize these stories and these songs and chants syllable by syllable, word by word. So,
you know, I still worry about this because I remember, and this is silly for people like you who have been exposed to this, but, you know, hear me out. Okay, I remember the test that the late Steve Allen used to do on his TV show, where they tell a joke to 10 people. Number one, here's the joke. He or she repeats it to the next person. After it goes through 10 generations of oral presentation of a very simple joke, the final version has no resemblance whatever to the original. So how do you keep these intact? Can you really train people to follow syllable by syllable for 10,000 years?
Well, Gene, I think it's cultural. Like Chris was saying, that, you know, these people, this is part of their culture to be in the oral culture. You know, in the written world, this is, you know, hard to have the story stay the same. We're used to writing things down for it to be the same.
And but you that, know, with 24/7 cable, you can listen to three cable networks and be totally confused because they have all different versions of what really happened.
Oh yeah, yeah. But if you write something down in a book, you know, you have, you know, it's kind of set in stone. you know, the ancient people, the Hopis, the Zunis, they didn't have this sort of, they didn't have books. So they had to keep these stories, you know, it was a very precise way of, you know, passing along the stories, passing along the ceremonies in just the right way. You know, if you fail to do a ceremony in the proper manner, that means that it won't rain. That means the corn won't grow. That means that you starve, you know. So
I understand that, but are humans capable of that linear accuracy?
Well, you know, you think back to Homer, the blind poet who was an oral poet. You know, poets learned that poem, the Odyssey and the Iliad, and they could recite, you know, thousands, hundreds and hundreds of lines, one after another. This tradition, the oral tradition, this was very strong back then, and we've kind of lost how to do this. Our memories are not that great. They used to be much better. We used to be much better at remembering long passages of poetry or literature. But, you know, and this was the same, the stories that the ancient people told, the Hopi tell these stories. And, of course, there are going to be variations. One village will tell the story in a different way because the Hopi are not monolithic. They're a collection of clans that have come together at this one place, and they call themselves collectively the Hopi, but they all have slightly different versions. I think each clan tries to be very precise in remembering a story a certain way and remembering a ceremony in a certain manner so they can perform the ceremony and it will be efficacious and will do what it's supposed to do.
We'll get into the ceremonies, the meanings, but more important, the star people and what the prophecies mean, what all this means to us in the present day, in the 21st century, whether there's an impact to our real lives here. We'll have to explore this further. Gary David is the guest. The book is out now, your latest one?
It's called The Kivas of Heaven,
okay.
Ancient Hopi Star Lore.
Okay. And we'll also talk about a TV show you're going to be on next year. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
The Paracast.
Are you ready to order the official Paracast t-shirt? You asked, we answered. We're now taking orders for the official Paracast t-shirt. It comes in white, 100% cotton. The front of it features the same logo that we have on our community forums. On the back it says, Separating Signal from Noise. To order the official Paracast t-shirt, here's all you have to do. Visit our new online store at store.theparacast.com. One more time, that's store.theparacast.com. You can use a major credit card to place your order for the official Paracast t-shirt. Hey neighbors, we have one more thing to talk about, and that's more merchandise at the official Paracast store. We have hats, we have jackets, we even have a flip video camcorder customized with the Paracast logo at the official Paracast store. It's all now available at the official Paracast store, store.theparacast.com.
I'm concerned about food for my family in the event of an emergency, and I know you are too. Are you ready? Don't wait for an emergency to happen. Put a plan together now with quality dehydrated food from Ready Reserve Foods. For nearly 40 years, Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, canning the finest in dehydrated foods. Other companies just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, controlling quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packing for maximum shelf life. Ready Reserve offers a balanced selection of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, proteins, and grains. Choose from a variety of pre-selected units or order by individual can to customize your own plan. When you purchase from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Call today for a free catalog, 1-800-453-2202, or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Call 1-800-453-2202. Ready Reserve Foods. Factory direct, wholesale pricing.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth slide into a recession or, at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common-sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
Energy. This world has so much energy, yet our bodies are lacking. What if you could tap into something that gave you more energy? What if you could drink a beverage and receive more energy? Well, Life Change Tea is your answer. Our number one compliment is people receiving more energy. And our product is all natural and no caffeine. And think about this. If you have more energy, you get more done. What a concept! If you are desiring more energy and a healthier lifestyle, it's time to drink Life Change Tea. Our name hints to our success. So here's how to order. Call us, 928-308-0408. Again, that's 928-308-0408. Or you can log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. And remember, there's only $3 shipping on your complete order. Again, more energy, more success. That's GetTheTea.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
You've entered another dimension. You've entered the Paracast.
Ancient mysteries all. We're looking at them to see what has traction, what might be real, what might not be real. Just a tall tale, a fairy tale. Gary David joins us. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. Fascinating lines of questioning, Chris. Let's take this further. Go ahead.
Well, one of the things that I remember distinctly last year when I went up to the Shalico ceremonies, which last the better part of a week in December up on the Zuni Reservation, one of the questions that I asked Clifford was how they were able to maintain such incredible precision and accuracy in the handing down of the traditional chants, prayers, and stories. And he said that one of the ways they do it is they skip a generation. It's the grandfather's generation that tells it to the grandchildren. And then the father's generation tells it to his grandchildren. And so they leapfrog through the generations down into time. And this is one of the ways that they're able to maintain this incredible precision and accuracy in these stories. Now, of course, there are different medicine societies, there are different Kachina societies, there's different clan societies. And as Gary pointed out, we do have some variance, I think, from tradition to tradition. But I think by and large, you're dealing with a culture that's very invested in accuracy. You mentioned, Gene, before the break that we were going to talk about some star people, legends and stuff. Gary, one of the stories that has always intrigued me, kind of going back to your comment about the 70s, wave in Prescott was the involvement of the Hopi elder Dan Kachamba. Do you want to talk about him a little bit and then maybe dovetail into some of the prophecies?
Yeah, he's the one that one of the elders, Hopi elders that have brought the prophecies forward, some of the end time prophecies, you might say, the Hopi end time prophecies. But, you know, like I say, he's one of the ones that went to Prescott, Arizona in 1970. And he witnessed some of these craft hovering around Thumb Butte. And there's kind of an internet rumor about, you know, he died in 1972, but supposedly his body was never found. He was last seen walking up a canyon where a UFO had been sighted. So maybe this is just kind of internet stuff. You know, it's hard to say. But, that's the rumor, about him. But, these prophecies have been coming for since, like, the middle of the 20th century. We've been aware, the world at large, I should say, has been aware of these prophecies coming to pass. In 1958, there was a man named David Young. He was a minister, and he was driving around the American Southwest, and he picked up an old Hopi man named White Feather. And White Feather was from the Bear Clan, and he said that all his sons were dead, and that the Hopi ceremonial cycle was kind of dying off, becoming extinct. And he wanted to pass on these major prophecies that he had foreseen while praying and chanting in the kivas, these visions of the way the fourth world would end and some of the signs or omens that would signal the end of this era, the end of an age. He said things like there'd be huge beasts come. They were sort of like the buffalo, except they had very long horns. That's one of the signs that the end of the age was near. And, of course, that happened in the 19th century in the American West when the coming of longhorn cattle. He said that there would be spinning wheels with voices in them that might be interpreted as covered wagons. With the spinning wheels that you can see that kind of that visual disturbance that it looks kind of like the wheel is going backwards. Another snakes of
or
iron
trucks.
Or trucks. Well, they one of the prophecies of the native end times is that there'd be ribbons, black ribbons spread across the land. And there'll be horseless carriages going across these black ribbons. So that's a pretty striking example of an asphalt highway. White Feather said that there'd be a spider web strung across the land. A giant spider web will be spread across the landscape. Of course, you might think of first telegraph lines, and then maybe power lines or telephone lines, and now of course the World Wide Web is a giant web that's spread all over the world. He also said that young people with long hair will come to Hopi Land to learn the native ways, and this happened especially in the late 60s, early 70s, when a lot of the counterculture people came out to Hopi Land, and sometimes they were at odds with Hopi values and culture because they lived a rather libertine lifestyle, and the Hopi are a very conservative people, and sometimes they didn't mesh with the Hopi ways. But at any rate, these young people were trying to learn the native ways, and this has come to pass. One of the signs was the sea will turn black. And of course, this past summer in 2010, we had the huge Gulf oil spill.
And the sea turned black.
And the sea indeed turned black. So these signs are all, coming to pass that we're at the end of the fourth world.
Okay, so all these legends of the end times, it's not just amongst the Indian people, but all across the world. Other religions, the same thing, end times. So are we again seeing this unified message from the same source?
Well, I think different cultures interpret it differently. There are biblical end times, and from what I understand of Hopi end times, Hopi prophecies, they're very similar. All these earth changes, tsunamis, earthquakes. You know, these are, we're all predicted to be, to come at the end times, and we're seeing this in a lot of different cultures. The Mayan culture, of course, has the specific date of December 21st, 2012. That's the end time. The Hopi are not that precise in saying when the end time will come. Some believe that we're already entering into the fifth world. We're very close to being in the fifth world. I have a friend that lives up on Hopi, and he said that he believes that the Hopi culture ceremonial cycle will be extinct at the end of his lifetime. He's about 50 years old, in his 50s. But by the time, you know, his life is ended, the Hopi culture will kind of cease to function as a ceremonial. This whole mass of legends and ceremonies we were talking about before, this will just come to an end because, you know, the language is not being passed on the way it used to be passed on, and the ceremonies are not being done. And it seems like the whole ceremonial cycle is breaking down. And the Hopis see themselves as guardians of the earth. They keep the world in balance. And in fact, they have a word, Koyaanisqatsi, which means world out of balance. That's the contemporary world that we're living in right now. And their ceremonies were done in part to keep the world in balance, keep the earth functioning and turning the way it's supposed to, keep the weather, keep the warmth coming to the land so they could grow corn and so forth. And this is all just kind of breaking down. You're having early winters and droughts and so forth, and it's getting harder and harder to be a Hopi up there and live in the traditional manner.
So did the Hopi predict global warming?
Well, they did predict, kind of the earth changes, like tsunamis and so forth, earthquakes.
Earthquakes, especially the next cleansing, according to Grandfather Martin of the Hopi, is going to be the earth shaking or flipping over four times when the warrior twins abdicate responsibility for holding Pululukang, which is the great serpent in the earth that keeps the earth in balance in terms of, I guess, its orbit. When they let go, then Pululukang will spasm and the earth will flip over four times, according to Martin.
I'll tell you why we'll have to flip over if we don't do this right away. Or flip out, depending on your point of view.
As I was going to say.
Chris O'Brien's the co-host. Gary David's the guest. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com. Hi. Hey, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.